when Jesus, God's Son and the Son of God and God the Son, died for your sin and mine. That is the greatest instance, the great instance of humility in our great pattern. Would y'all agree with that? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight, God, that you'd be magnified and glorified. Oh, Lord, I just want to mind you, Lord. I just want to please you tonight. Oh, God, I want you to be honored tonight. Oh, God, I thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate what we've already had, the great church, Lord, we've already experienced. And God, I thank you for some thoughts on my heart. And Lord, it's a burden on me. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you'd help me to lay on them the burden you've laid on me. Help us, God, to have a true sense of humility, not false humility, not hypocritical humility, but Lord, true humility, honest humility. Help us, God, oh Lord, to look to our great pattern of all life. Amen. To you, Lord, I love you and I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. All God's people say it. I want to do by the help of the Lord tonight, just do everything God wants me to do and nothing else. Amen. I want to preach to you on this line, the cross of Christ. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, it is four words, yet what universal truth it is. The cross of Jesus. The Bible said, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Here it is, even the death of the cross. Oh, I thank God for the cross. There's a lot of things that I can see at the cross, but I want you to go with me just for a little while, and I'll try to give you an overview of the chapter. It's been a while since I preached through the book of Philippians. And so for those of you that remember, y'all just bear with me while I can bring everybody just kind of on the same page. Let's zero. What we're trying to do right now is zero our scope in. Amen. I want you to look with me at Philippians 2. And we'll skip down to verse number 6 and 7. You see a form of a servant. And verse number 8, you see a fitting Savior. Woo! That's what I want to try to get to tonight. And verse number 9 through 11, you see a formidable Sovereign. Oh, thank God. Nobody is going to beat Him. Can I say amen? He's going to whoop everybody. Amen. There's coming a battle, friend. Amen. And he's going to whoop everybody. But I want you to notice with me the form of a servant. Notice in verse 6 and 7, we see his humiliation, not in a negative manner, but we see the manner of it. He thought himself not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Here's the extent of the humiliation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to have to center it just on that humiliation. I'd like to get to the exaltation, but I believe the Holy Ghost done preached it for me. Hey, would y'all agree with me today? Is it going to be a time when we're gathered around behind the great white throne, and we see that sorry devil have to bow down and even him claim that he is Jesus Christ the Lord? Won't that be a great time? And, hey, old Slewfoot, the dragon, the devil, the destroyer, amen, the divider. Oh, yes, he might come to seek to steal, kill, and destroy. He might come to do it, but if we're going to God's children, and I am, he ain't going to do it unless God lets him do it. He might come to do it, but he ain't going to do it. These bars on my soul. Amen. Now notice with me if you will. His humiliation. Notice this, what the Bible says. The Bible said he was found in fashion as a man. In fashion as a man. I thought about that word and I looked it up one time, and this is what it means. It means not merely the likeness of a thing, not merely the likeness of a thing, but the thing itself. In other words, he wasn't just like a man. He was found in fashion as a man. In other words, he just didn't put on a costume. He, the Son of God, become the Son of Man. Hey man, ain't that enough to shout about? I mean, thank God he can't found in fashion as a man. But notice the word he. The Bible said many looked upon him. That's that personal pronoun. That's making sure we're knowing who he's talking about. Not merely a man. He was more than just a man. Hey, yes, he had a form of a man. He had a fashion of a man. He was like a man. Oh, but he was much more than a man. He was like man in his form. He was like man in his hunger. He was like man in his thirst. He was like man when he was weary and sat down on the well. Oh, but something was a little different about this man. He was not like man in his conception. Oh, the Holy Ghost overshadowed the womb of Mary, the virgin womb that had never known man. Amen. And he was virgin born. There was something special about this man. Amen. He humbled himself. He became a man. But friend, listen to me. Hallelujah. Everything about his humanity is something extraordinary about it. Y'all remember when he was being formed in the womb 9 months, just like any other man? But there was extraordinary things going on. When his cousin came in the room, hey man, Jesus, just a few moments. Some say maybe days. Some say at the most a week. And John, just a few months. Old inside his mother's womb. But there's something about this little, woo, you'd have to have one of them big ultrasounds to see him right now. But there's something about this life inside. It's not just any man. He is a man. He was found in fashion as a man, not just like a man. He didn't take on himself the form of an angel. He became man. In other words, he became the worm. Are y'all with me tonight? Oh yes, he became. Oh yes. But he's more than just a man. Virgin conceived. Something extraordinary about this man. Hey man, great God, he has something special about this. He is a whole lot more special than Spider-Man or Superman or Batman out of hell, man. Say amen right there. He is, there's something special about this man. Just a few moments, few months old, and John the Baptist is turning flips. So much, amen, excitement going on because the Savior has come into the same room with the forerunner. Amen. The door has just came in with the forerunner, and the mama gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Are y'all with me tonight? Oh, he's filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. But his mama got filled with the... There's something extraordinary about this man. Oh, he growed up like any other man. Amen. The Bible said he grew, amen, in stature. Oh, he growed up just like any other man. But how many other 12-year-old boys did they? Hey, man. How many other 12-year-old boys sat down and told them religious doctors and lawyers, hey, man, what that word really was? We don't know all he said. I just wonder as a 12-year-old boy, if he let them in on a little something. I wonder if he said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. All I know is he taught with authority, and he had them bunch of professors and lawyers and religious men. I believe he had their mouth open. Hey, the word of the word sitting there preaching. Are y'all with me? 12-year-old boy. Amen. God incarnate in flesh. There's something special about this man. He ain't back talking his mama like his brothers are. He ain't, amen. Woo! Say amen right there. Oh yes. Hey brother, you know what? He had them boys sitting there. I believe their mouth was open. I believe the crumbs was dripping off their chin. I believe they said, do I have anything on my chin? I mean, brother, they's getting fed. And they sat there for days. When that crowd turned around, they're still sitting there hearing the word of God. I bet you one of them said, what did I miss in my bathroom break? What can you tell me? What went on? I know good and well when he talked, their hearts burned. The scriptures was coming alive. Hey, they had a seat where the Messiah was going to read Isaiah, and then sat down in that synagogue. And I just wonder if Jesus just looked at that seat and said, one day I'm going to come, amen, in my public ministry, and I'm going to sit down in that seat. Oh, I just wonder what he told them that day. But it was enough to gather their attention. Hey, ain't you glad one day when you was lost and on your way to hell, and you'd heard a lot about Jesus, and you'd heard a lot about the cross, and you heard a lot about the resurrection, but that day, amen, the sovereign Savior, the Word of the Word, came into the church where you was at, walked down the aisle where you was at, sat down in the lap in the pew where you was at, and made the scripture alive and burned in your soul the truth of what others had said. Woo! Amen. With authority. Amen. He's talking about this man. Found in fashion as a man. Y'all listen to me now. He was in subjection. Was he not? He submitted to God and man. The Bible said he humbled himself. Over there in the scripture, after his teaching in the temple, his mom and daddy came to him and said, we looked for you among our friends. Couldn't find you. You ought to get some different friends. Say amen right there. Look for him in their family. Couldn't find him among the family. You might want to feel convicted right there. Amen. Couldn't find him nowhere. How in the world? They went days without recognizing he wasn't there. Amen. I wonder how Christians can go days without recognizing they ain't had fellowship with Jesus. How in the world is it that we can get in such a foul shape that we reckon, hey, it takes days to wake up and say, man, where's Jesus at? I'll tell you where you'll find him at. Go back down to the house of God and you'll find him. Woo! Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. He humbled. You know what mom and daddy said? You know what he did? He didn't rebuke him for coming back and getting him. He submitted him. The Bible said he went with them. He humbled himself to the will of the Father. He humbled himself to the will of his mom and daddy. He humbled himself and worked as a carpenter. He worked with his hand. He was a worker friend. He probably got blisters on his hand. He worked. He hungered. He humbled himself. Amen. And lived with an unbelieving family. His brother didn't even believe in him. Washing the disciples' feet. And Judas was there. He humbled himself when he washed their feet. He humbled himself when he put up with those trying to catch him in his words. He humbled himself when that crowd was spitting on him. He humbled himself when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. He humbled himself when he gave that centurion the ability to take that whip when his back was stretched over the whipping post, and gave that centurion Aaron's lungs to beat him. Oh, hallelujah. He humbled himself when he laid his life down. Oh, he said, the Bible said, unto death. He humbled himself. He'd have never had to die. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, dieth. Jesus never sinned. But he laid down his life. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He humbled himself for your soul and my soul and those that have believed soul. Hallelujah. He wasn't just any man. Hallelujah. Humbled himself unto death. That's what he said. Even the death and the cross. He humbled himself under the law. He fulfilled all the ceremonial law. Did he not keep the Passover? Sure did. He humbled himself under the Mosaic ceremonial law, the moral law. He humbled himself, fulfilled every bit of the law. And you know what? He even, under the penalty of the law, died. Not the Bible says he was made to be sin for us. It's an absolute obligation that he died at Calvary. If he had not died in our place and suffered our hell and suffered the wrath, and listen, The worst that he suffered was not, and y'all have heard me say it, was not the crown of thorns. It was not the pierced side. It was not the nailed feet and the nailed hands. It was not the mocking. It was not the spitting. It was not that reed beating those thorns inch to 3 inches. It wasn't the 260 to 290 stripes that ripped open his flesh. That wasn't the worst. That wasn't the worst. When they thugged at the cross down in the hole, and every bone, according to Psalms 22, every bone went out of joint. That still wasn't the worst. Amen. When they pierced his side and out came blood and water, that still wasn't the worst. I tell you what the worst was. It's when every sin of every man that had ever been born was placed on him, and God turned his back and God judged him for your son. Oh, bless the Lord. When the justice of God fell on him and God's hand dealt the death blow, that was worse, friend. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Came obedient unto death, on the death of the cross. I'm going to tell you, not just anybody. He died. Bible says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He, Jesus said, lest the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hey, he became the serpent on the pole. Oh, hallelujah. The message was look and live. It wasn't turn over a new leaf and live. If you look at word up look, it means to do an about face, a U-turn. It means to repent of the way you're going and turn back and look. Hey, it wouldn't have done no good for somebody to find a venom cure for the snakes biting them. They'd have still died. They'd have died before they ever found it, friend. Oh, but Jesus said, as they looked upon that serpent that was lifted up on the pole, and so they lived, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And now, sinner, look unto Him. Look unto Him. Look unto Him. Look unto Him. Not your preacher, not your church, not the baptism pool, but look unto Him and be ye saved. But the Bible says He died so He could live. The world hates him because he didn't stay dead. Can't stand him. Mm-hmm. I don't mind you talking about God, as long as you don't name him Jesus. Amen. I don't mind you being spiritual, as long as you don't tell him you're a Christian. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what's real bad. You go tell him you're an old-time Baptist. Now you're really going to make them fight mad. Because about everybody claims to be a Christian. Yeah. Amen. Right. A lot of folks claim to be a Christian. Oh, right. They tell me the 186 souls a second are dying by the latest survey done. Are dying every second. 186 souls every second that is lost and claim no salvation. Well, I don't know what the score really is. That poll was taken a long time ago. And I imagine it's a lot worse than it is now. But I wonder how many of that crowd that claim to be saved think they got saved because they said to a catechism or because they said to a preacher. I wonder how many of them think they saved because they did like this. They didn't get saved. They can take them all the way under the water. You can dip them front, forward, back, forward, side, back. You can dip them 4,000 or 5,000 times, and that ain't going to get them saved if they ain't been washed in the blood. Friend, I don't know how many's really dying and going to hell every single second, but while I've been preaching, there's thousands of souls that are dying and going to hell. And if we're saved by the grace of God, then we need to tell everybody about the greatest thing that ever happened to us. That's the day when we recognize the humiliation that He brought for our redemption. And when we got humble and trusted Christ, amen, we need to tell it to everybody. Hey, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says this. Christ died for saints. Christ died for sinners. Can I tell you today, when I got saved, I went from a sinner to a saint. Now, I ain't mad at people who say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Because I say that sometimes. And really, I'm a sinner that got saved by grace. But in all actuality, I ain't waiting for the Catholic Church to dub me a saint. Or the Episcopalians neither. Or the church independents to get together and say, he's one of the brethren. Because I know this. I've got the brethren, the word brethren, as Christ used it, that means children of the same womb. I'm glad we all been birthed into the womb of the Holy Ghost. That's what makes us brethren. Oh, hallelujah. The cross, and the cross, well, I first saw the light. Hey, man, Jesus was humble. Hey, man, so I could be lifted up. And if we want to be lifted up, we're going to have to get humble. And if we want other sinners to be lifted up, we're going to have to get humble. We're going to have to take them by the cross. Because at the cross, every sinner sees their exceeding sinfulness. Four things, I'll let you go. Number one, four things. The cross is a place of condemnation. I'm going to tell you where I realized how wicked I was. It was that when that man of God got to preaching on the cross like I ain't never heard. When that man of God got to preaching about me eating and drinking the Lord's Supper unworthily. And that it was about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's about his body being broke. It's about his blood being shed. And I took it as a light thing. I had just took it because my tummy was grumbling. Because I wanted to fit in. And when I realized that was a sanctimonious time. That was a holy time. That was a precious time. That we were to set aside to remember not only what Christ did for the world, but what Christ did for me. That made me a change. And brother, I saw myself beside God. I saw myself exceeding sinful. I got like Peter. Oh, depart from me. I am a sinful man, oh Lord. I got wicked. I seen how sinful I was. And you'll never get saved till you see you need to be saved. I went and talked to a lady one time. She said, preacher, ain't that bad. I said, but I'd like to get saved. I said, you ain't ready. I know. It makes people nervous when I say that. I understand that. You ain't going to get saved till you're ready. And I ain't going to pluck no fruit early. I done seen too many people make a false profession. And then now they twofold a child of hell. Now they got to admit they lost and got to get past the false profession. Ain't that right? It's real timid. Got to follow the Holy Ghost. I said, ma'am, you're not sick of your sin? Well, I'm tired of some of it. Well, you ain't going to get saved. You're going to have to see the cross is a place of condemnation. When that thief on the right-hand side got under condemnation, you know what he says? He said, this man in the middle, he's done nothing amiss. We're receiving the due reward. We're getting what we deserved. That man on the left side, he ain't got under condemnation. He ain't really seeing what he needs. He said, if you're the Messiah, get us down from here. He's sorry about where he's at. This man over here is sorry for what he is. And when you get sorry for what you are, you get saved, friend. You got to get real sorry for what you are. I'm telling you, thank God. I remember when Austin got saved, he was confessing everything. God, oh, God, forgive me for back-mapping mama. God, forgive me for lying to daddy. God, I remember when Noah got saved. He got born again in the laundry room, Brother Kent. He went through the house. He told his Austin. He said, brother, I'm sorry for being mean and making you mad. He went to Jacob and said, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I mean, praise God. He just got born again. And he was sorry for every time that he'd ever been sorry. And you see, the exceeding sinful is number two. Not only is it a place of condemnation. I'm going to tell you this, brother. It's a place of reconciliation. Woo! For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, can I tell you today, Jesus died that you might be saved. Amen. The Bible says, hey man, that the worst sinner, the vilest sinner can get saved. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate. Is everybody okay? Well, you know, some of the brethren think that, you know, sodomite can't get saved. I don't know what they're going to do with 2 Corinthians 6. I don't know what they're going to do with that. Can an adulterer get saved? Can I hear amen? Can a fornicator get saved? Can a liar get saved? Can an effeminate man get saved? That's what the Bible says. Now, I can't help it. I know it creeps us out. I know it's disgusting. I know it's really nasty. I know. I understand that. And it didn't matter how lost I was, I ain't never thought about that. I know that right. I know that's wicked. I would never go there. I understand that. That's what I'm thinking now. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. First three Bibles that God reveals Himself in. The first one's the Bible of creation. Romans chapter number 1. They disregard the God that they know is in creation. Hey, man. Then it's the Bible that they see in manifestation in the child of God's life. You're an epistle known and read of men. And then it's the Word of God. Thank God right here. From divine inspiration. And I thank God all three line up. It's saving time, friend. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. It's a place of reconciliation. It's a divine connection. It's where God's grabbed and men is grabbed. And there ain't but one mediator between God and man. Hey, would y'all agree with that? One mediator. Sanchez went up to one of them Catholic guys, comes on Friday night. I was giving orientation the other day, Brother Linder. And I said, I'm sorry they come on Monday. And I said, there's probably no other camp in North Carolina prison system where you can worship Jesus as much as you can in this place. I said, you can worship Jesus 5 or 6 days. And I looked back at Sanchez. He said, yeah, you're right. Jehovah's Witness is here on Friday, and the Catholics here is on Monday. And he said, now he did say, preacher, you reckon some of them Catholics get saved? I said, oh, yeah. I believe some of them Catholics say. Now, just hold up a minute. But they ain't going to believe what Catholics believe. They're going to have to believe that Scripture. Because that's... I'm just saying, this is what Sanchez went up to that man and said, look, I forgot what his name was. You remember what I told you his name was? I can't remember what his name was. Andy. I said, brother, he said, Andy, he said, I'm not trying to start an argument with you. He said, half of my family, as a Mexican, half of our family is Catholics. And he said, I ain't trying to start an argument with you, but I've just got one thing that's always bothered me. That I never went to church. I wasn't raised in church, but I never would go to Catholic Mass with them. And here's the reason why. I figured all men are sinners. I've heard that. My grandma's taught me that. All men are sinners. And he said, if all men are sinners, why would I tell another sinner about my sin? I said, what'd he say, Sanchez? He said, well, the Bible said confess your sin one to another. I said, whoop. That's what happened. He's got a wrong Bible. If he had the right Bible, it said confess your faults. He'd have read over where it says there's one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. It ain't a woman named Mary. It ain't a priest. Hey, man named Francis. Amen. I tell you what it is. Amen. It's Jesus. Jesus. It's a place of reconciliation. It's a place of separation. You know what? When I got saved, things died to me and I died to the world. I got separated from and I got separated to. Let me illustrate. Move on. Listen. Y'all believe that vine business in John 15? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that's part of the Scriptures?
Amen.
Because some people don't believe all of it's inspired. I just want to make sure. I'm pretty sure everybody here believes John 15, don't we? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Never thought about this till yesterday. Bible says, Hebrews, you are made partakers. The word there, partaker, is grafted in. Never thought about this. You know what happens when a wild branch is grafted into something else? Their life as a wild branch is severed.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all stay real calm. Yeah. Don't nobody run into each other while you're running on this, okay? Because My, amen. All right. Yeah. Just hold on. Your old life is severed. The roots that used to go down into the dirt no longer are there. You've been broke off. But now there's been a side. The bark's been cut. You cut plumb to the sap. Run for me, please. I'm about to die tonight. Amen. A side's been cut, and that's stuck in there. Now the roots are not in the dirt. Now its roots are the vine's roots. It gets everything it has from the vine. Glory to God. I don't know how I stay so calm. Woo! Woo! Glory! Out of the world into the family. Hallelujah! I'm telling y'all right now, I'm hooked in. Now, I can bloom for Jesus. Hi! Are y'all following me tonight? Wild. Woo! Grafted in. Separation. Lastly, the cross is a place of celebration. See, it's a place of death. That brought reconciliation. But it's also a place of life. Let me put it like this. When Jesus died, it looked like a disaster. It looked like a catastrophe. So here he is, dead. All of a sudden, the grave started shaking. The earth began to rumble. The graves was open. Hold up. You mean the grave lost its grip? Sure did. You're catching up. Amen. The grave. But they didn't come out yet. That's when he went down into the lower parts of the earth. He that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Ephesians chapter. I'm not making it up. Y'all with me? He that ascended, descended to deliver the captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Are y'all with me? Woo! Hallelujah! Amen! The thief done run in. Jesus has walked in. John the Baptist has said, "That's him! That's him! That's the Lamb of God!" Isaiah said, "That's him!" Moses said, "That's him!" Caleb said, "That's him! That's him!" And then the thief come in and said, "That is him! Hallelujah! That's him! That's him!" Kicked the door in, grabbed the keys, hung them as a medal on his vesture, and walked out of the grave 3 days later. I say, hallelujah! Celebration! Hey, can I say today, you know why you celebrate? Because of the cross. Jacob, you come on. Just everybody stand. You know why you